Testing. 1, 2, 3, everybody hear me okay? Good afternoon, everyone. Well, for 2-3 months, it's been too hot. Now it's too cold. I hope you're enjoying this weather. Please open your Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter 37.
Is that Ezekiel? Chris, you said Ephesians.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, the Old Testament, Ezekiel. I have Ephesians on my mind. Ezekiel 37, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. Would like to welcome Noriko-san and hope you are happy to be in Hiroshima this weekend. Kayoko's daughter, I remember when she was first born. How many years ago? 19, 20 years ago, and she's still a little baby. Now she's a beautiful young woman now. So, yeah, wonderful. Yeah, okay. So, here, we're here. You know, do we have the worship verses from? Yeah, here it is. So happy. Great songs today, as always. Great songs. This is the best, right here. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. That's today's scripture. Yeah, and we're singing it. And we're going to read it. We're going to meditate on it. And so if you're wondering, what bones into armies, what is that about? That's today's sermon and today's scripture. So great selection today. Cindy. I'm going to read the first part, verses 1 through 10. Please join me from verses 11 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and sent me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, "This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. And they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Let's read together. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel.' Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. The very words of God. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the world, fill our minds with your truth and our hearts with your love. So, do you know the expression, well, in English, so the ones who are not native speakers of English, do you know this expression, Christmas in July? Do you know this? You know, Christmas is in December, and it's very happy, you know, when you receive presents. That's the only reason we have Christmas, is for the present. No. But it's a happy, it's a happy day because we get presents. But sometimes in July, which is the opposite of December, you receive a present or something happy happens and it's wonderful and you feel, oh, it's like Christmas. I'm so happy, even though it's July, right? It's called Christmas in July. Yeah. Well, I want to give you another expression today. Okay, like Christmas in July, but this is Easter in October. Okay? Yeah, today is October 8th, and today I'm going to preach a sermon that's usually for Easter. Okay? In Easter, for me, it's the best Sunday, Easter. It's usually in April. Yeah, because usually we have a baptism at church. We have lots of music. Lots of people come. And when I come home from church on Easter, nothing can make me angry or sad or lonely or depressed. I come home from Easter, and I kick the door open, and I say, yeah, God is risen. God is alive. There's nothing better than Easter. Yeah, that's today. Yeah, nothing is better than Easter in October. Yeah, I'm gonna preach like it's everybody is here and it's a full church. We've got people standing in the back because it's Easter in October. You know, the worst color in the world, do you know what it is? It's beige. Beige. That's the worst color. Because it's not bright. It's not beautiful. It's not dark or light. It's just, ugh, it's beige, right? And many people these days, when they think of church or Christianity or the gospel, it's very beige. We're not going to offend you. We're not going to challenge you. We're not going to fill you with life or you know, conviction of sin. No. We're just going to let you feel warm, comfortable. It's very beige. That is not today. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is anything but beige. It's not comfortable. It's not warm. It's powerful. It's challenging. It's convicting, but it should move you. And I hope that today, as we go home, we kick the door open and we say, yes, Jesus, fill me with life and spirit and newness and light. Yeah, I want to see Tamaki at school tomorrow. And no, Tuesday. Monday is a holiday. Yeah, and we're like, yeah, We're here. We're alive. Jesus is alive. Amen, somebody. All right. So it starts with a very strange picture. They're in this valley. It's full of bones. And the bones are very dry. It's a battlefield. The most famous samurai in Japanese history is a man called Musashi Miyamoto. And the most famous book about him is a book called Musashi, written by Eiji Yoshikawa. Do you know this book? No? Okay, let me spoil it for you. In the beginning, it starts with the Battle of Sekigahara. It's the morning after Sekigahara. It's in 1600, October. I think it's October. Yeah, okay. So Musashi Miyamoto, he's a young man. He wakes up and there's dead bodies all around him. He has fought in this battle. Samurai, warriors, servants, civilians, and all around him is just dead bodies from the war. It's a valley. And that's the opening of the book. I hope you can, that's enough for you to try to buy it. This is kind of similar, but there's a difference here. In Musashi Miyamoto, it opens just the day after the battle. Here, this is years and years and years after the war is over. Israel, the country. So not Japan, but Israel. Not Japanese, but Jews. And Ezekiel sees a vision of a valley with not dead bodies, but dry bones. Why? Because there was a large battle and Israel lost. And there was no honor in this death. So people did not bury them in proper graves. They just let them lay there for years and years. So the animals came and picked at the meat, picked at the clothes. The sun dried all the bones. And it's just horrible. It's dusty. It's dry. This is Ezekiel's vision. He's a prophet. And he understands Israel, the country, is dying. It's dead. It's defeated. So that, now they're in Babylon. They're conquered by a greater country. And now they're in the middle of exile. Away from the promised land. Away from the temple. Away from the presence of God. Exile. And it says in verse 11, it says, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. Our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. Our nation, our identity, our life as the people of God, it's dead. There's no more hope. We're away from God's spirit. We're away from God's presence. Now, I want to tell you right now, let's pause in this story. This is a vision. But God, throughout all of the Bible, says this is not only Israel, this is everyone. What do you mean? Israel is in exile, away from God. You know what? Humanity is in exile. Humanity is away from God. It didn't start in Israel. It started in the garden. Do you remember the story of the Garden of Eden, chapter 1, chapter 2 of Genesis? There's a tree in the middle. What's the tree? Well, we all think it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? And they ate the fruit. But there was another tree. Do you know the other tree? The tree of life. the tree of eternal life. And when our first parents, Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God, they rebelled against him, God says, you cannot eat the tree of life. You cannot have eternal life. I have to take you out of the garden. And now our parents, all of us, are outside of the garden. We have no eternal life. You know what that means? We have death. Death is the ultimate exile. Death is the ultimate separation from God. Do you see that? Israel is us. All of humanity, because of our disobedience to God. And therefore we have, like them, we have no hope. But this story is about the recovery, the revival, the regeneration of hope. And God says, I am going to bring you back together to give you hope. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. So hope is this, the resurrection. It's a living hope. And we all need hope. So one pastor I was listening to, he tried to say that this prophecy is about the Holocaust, 1933 to 1944. 6 million Jews were put into death camps in World War II and died. I thought, that's a very interesting thought. But it's interesting because, you know, in the death camps of World War II, there was a doctor who was Jewish, and he was in there, and he survived the death camps, and he wrote a book, and in the book, he talked about his experience, and he saw people who were going into death camps losing their hope. And so here's what happened. There's three kinds of people. One kind of person, they would go into the camps, and they had no hope, so all they would do is they would just lay down and die. They wouldn't fight. They wouldn't eat. They wouldn't try. They just, I'm done. The second group of people, they turned bad. They became selfish, and they tried to use the system. They tried they tried to work with the Nazis to tell on their own people, or they tried to manipulate things to keep themselves alive at the cost of their own people. They turned bad. And then there's a third group of people. Somehow, they became more heroic, more good. They had more courage. And they would last longer. They didn't fight the evil, but they tried to overcome the evil by helping others, by trying to find a way through. And so the doctor's name is Viktor Frankl. He wrote the book, I can't remember the name, but I think it's The Meaning of Life, or The Search for the Meaning of Life. And so what Viktor Frankl realized was this about all humanity. When he learned in the death camps, he says, if your hope is something that the world can give you, like your money, you know, or your power, your position, your status, well, the death camp, if you were rich or poor, you know, old or young, male, it doesn't matter. It's all gone. Death is coming. And so when death comes, the world gave you your status, your money, your wealth, your fame. Now it's gone. They had no hope and they turned evil. But then Viktor Frankl says, you know what though? If your hope is something that the world cannot give you. It's something that death and suffering cannot take away, like the promise of eternal life, like the promise of resurrection, like the promise of God's love. If that is something that death and suffering cannot take away, then you have a hope that will take you through death's valley. That's what he realized. We are in exile, therefore we die. Death is coming for all of us. Listen, the tree of life is what we had at first. Can I tell you right now? I know this is not something they teach, and this is not something popular. Death is not natural. We had the tree of life. We shouldn't be dying. When we have funerals, whether they're young or old, it is not good. Death is the enemy. It's not natural. We belong in the garden with the tree of life. And so what the world will tell us is, no. Death is beautiful. Death is, it's like, you know, the fall with the leaves changing colors. They turn yellow and red and orange, and oh, look, they're dying leaves. It's, right? It's Disneyland. What does Disney say? The old lion and the young lion. Do you know this one? The young lion says, I don't understand. Why do we have to die? Why can't we? And the old lion, James Earl Jones, well, we eat the antelope, but then we die. And we become the grass, and the grass eats, the antelope eats the grass, and it's the circle of life. It's all natural. No. It's not, don't listen to Disneyland. Listen to Dylan Thomas. What does Dylan Thomas say? Do not go gentle into the night. Rage against the dying of the light. That's the truth. We have to fight death. We fight suffering. We fight illness. Because it's not natural. How? We have hope. We fight it with hope. And the story of the dry bones is a story of hope. Now, how does it work? Here we go. How does it work? So here's right. God takes them and he says, all right, I want you to talk to these bones. Go ahead. You're the pastor. You're a priest. Preach. Yeah, I know how he feels. He's preaching, and it's just, I'm just kidding. Never mind. So, terrible joke. So, he's preaching to a bunch of dryness. Nobody can listen to him. But he preaches the truth. He preaches the word of God. God gives him the word, and he preaches that word. And that's how, you know, the bones start coming together. Then the meat comes on the bones, and then there's the skin. But look what happens. You cannot have regeneration. You cannot have renewal unless you can hear the word of God. You need the truth. That's what he's saying. The word of God is the truth. Preacher, preach these people, preach these bones the truth. Now, what's the truth? What's the truth? What is the truth? This really happened. See, Christians, we don't preach a symbolic. See, this is what everybody wants us to say. Here's what they want you to say on Easter or the resurrection. This is a beautiful symbol. You know, spring comes after winter. You know, It's the circle of life, the cycle of seasons. Life comes after death again and again. Right? It's all a symbol. So if you just believe in your heart, you know, that this cycle is natural and it goes through and la-di-da-di-da, it's okay. Just accept it. Death is natural. That's the truth. If you believe that, that will give you the hope. No! Let's think about this. Who were the first Christians? The first Christians were slaves. They're poor. They were weak. The first century Christians were not the powerful, the rich, the famous. They were slaves who were oppressed and were poor. Now you tell those slaves, you know, the resurrection of Jesus, it didn't really happen. It was just a symbol. Just believe in the symbol. Believe in the metaphor. It's the story. And that will help you. What? You know what they would say? They would say, get out of my face. If it's just a story, if it's a symbol, I don't need it. I'm trying to get through Monday through Sunday. I need truth. And what's the truth? What's the truth? God, in the form of Jesus Christ, came to earth. And Jesus Christ, went right into the heart and belly of death, and he exploded with his own righteousness, perfect righteousness. And then, after 3 days, he was resurrected because death could not hold him down. And then he says, I can give you my spirit. And if you have my spirit, you will be resurrected. And after you are resurrected, the whole world, from all of creation, from the water to the air to the trees to the rivers to the mountains, everything will be made new with the power of the resurrection of God. That's the truth, with capital T. And you, if you will come to understand, you will receive it and say, yes, I will put my trust in that resurrection. That's the start. The bones will come together. The meat will get on the bones. The skin will cover it. That's the start. But there's one more thing you need. One more thing that goes beyond the truth. And that's the Spirit. Okay? So, there's a word here, if you'll notice, it's repeated. He says, breathe, breathe, the breath will enter you, right? Excuse me. All right, so come from the four winds, O breath. The breath is the Spirit of God. This language, the four winds, the breath, that's the ruah, that takes you back to Genesis chapter 1. God breathed on the waters. God breathed his spirit into man, and man became a living being. At first, he was dirt, he was dust, he was mud. But when God's breath, his spirit came in, that's when he came a living being. So, Ezekiel, in chapter 37, gives this picture. In 36, the chapter earlier, he gives it more detail. What does it mean that the Spirit enters a man? And he says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Please notice the connection. When God's Spirit enters us, our actions change. The Spirit comes in, and the Spirit of God changes what the flesh does. So, if you become more generous to the poor, if you become more gentle to the weak, if you become stronger at fighting against sin, if you are able to have boldness to speak in situations that need your voice, if you are learning to be open with your money, to be generous with your time, you know what that means? You're beginning to have the Spirit fill you. Because when the Spirit comes in, the actions change. That's what he's saying. And so Jesus, in John 3, he's talking to Nicodemus. He says, you must be born again. And when you're born again, you have to be born of the water and the Spirit. You have to be born of the water and the Spirit. That's John chapter 3. And then in John chapter 20, Jesus is resurrected, and he's talking to his disciples. And there's this one place that's really strange. Do you notice this? When you read John 20, it says, Jesus goes into the house, says, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. What? So Jesus went, like that, on his disciples. What Jesus was doing was he's fulfilling Ezekiel's prophecy of Ezekiel 37. When God says, I'm going to breathe on you and give you new life. That's the Holy Spirit. You're not going to have revival and resurrection and power in your life unless Jesus breathes on you. Please understand the truth. You need to understand what these bones are talking about. This is why I talked about Ephesians at the beginning. In Ephesians, it says, you were dead in your transgressions. But God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you've been saved. So, I'm almost done. Last night, my sons were reading the Bible together. They were reading John chapter 8. And, they read it real fast. My sons, I have to tell them to read the Bible. They don't just do it on their own. So they're reading, they're just brrrr. And then they read John chapter 8, and I'm sitting there, and they read the New Testament and the Old Testament. So they finished the New Testament. Now they're going to go to the Old Testament. And I said, stop. Do you know what you just read? And then they said, well, okay, Jesus was talking to a woman who was caught in adultery, and then the people were going to throw the stones. But then Jesus said, if you don't have any sins, then you can throw the stone. And then nobody threw the stone, so everybody left. And then the woman was allowed to go. And I said, wait. Did Jesus throw a stone to the woman? And I said, no. But could Jesus throw the stone? Yes, because he had no sin. But he didn't. Why? Why didn't Jesus throw the stone? And then I asked them this. I said, why does God let evil people stay alive? If God is good, why does he let bad people do bad things? Why is there Satan? Why doesn't God just kill Satan? And we could have all of this just finish. So I asked them the question. And one son answered the right one. He said, well, if God kills all the bad people, then everybody would be dead. Right? You, me, why? Because we're all bad people. And I said, okay, I think my sons are learning something. Yeah. Now, Satan is a problem, but even more than Satan is me, my problem. I was dead without Jesus Christ. Now, why did Jesus not throw the stone? It's in verse 11. It says here, we are cut off. That's why Jesus did not throw the stone. This word cut off means killed. And in Isaiah chapter 53, another prophet, he says, the suffering servant, Jesus, was cut off for the sins of his people. Why did Jesus not throw the stone? Because he let the stones be thrown at him. He took our stones. We should be cut off. But Jesus let himself be cut off so that we can walk free. And here it is. You want the resurrection life, the power of God, Easter life in you? You go to the cross where Jesus was cut off. Because Jesus was cut off, we can now be accepted by God. And we have the breath of God. Jesus breathed out on the cross his last breath. And then God breathes into us because of Jesus' death on the cross. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. So Jesus, breathe on me. Jesus, fill me up. Jesus, I come to you. I am dead without you. Jesus, I need your life. Jesus, I feel like I'm cut off. Jesus, come and put me back together. These dry bones, the hopeless life, please come and change everything. Please, Jesus, I need you. Look, there's no wealth, no health, no power or position that this world can give you that will get you through the death. Only something that God can give you can get you through this death. And that is the spirit of resurrection in Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. Please pray with me. Father, I ask that you would please open our hearts and minds, not only to understand, but to know and believe, and then, Lord, to walk in newness of life. Please take the message of Easter and help us to live it in October. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.